Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter, Katie Weaver, and Brian Lynn. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later, John Russell and Jill Robbins will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
Hundreds of thousands of ethnic Rohingya people have been forced out of Western Myanmar in what the United Nations is comparing to ethnic cleansing. Officials of Myanmar, including State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi, say the problem is complex and will require time to work out. Officials say Muslim terrorists are responsible for destruction of villages and displacement of people. The Muslim Rohingya people are one of the many ethnic minorities in Myanmar, also known as Burma, which is a Buddhist-majority country. Most have lived in Myanmar's western Rakhine state. The government considers the Rohingya migrants from Bangladesh, who are seeking better economic conditions. They are not recognized as citizens, although many can show that their families have been in the country for generations. This is not the first time the Rohingya have fled the area. Hundreds of thousands left in 1978, and again in the early 1990s. Fleeing military and government oppression. In 2012, another 100,000 fled by boat as Myanmar was transitioning from a half century of military dictatorship to democracy. The violence in Rakhine State has continued since late August when Rohingya militants attacked several police and army positions there. However, military operations to answer the attacks have killed hundreds of Rohingya and many of their villages have been burned. It is estimated that more than 300,000 Rohingya have fled to neighboring Bangladesh. Thousands more remain in Myanmar, where they are in need of food and aid. The United Nations has described the treatment of the Rohingya as a textbook example of ethnic cleansing. Recent efforts to bring aid to the area have faced setbacks. In one incident, 9 aid workers transporting humanitarian assistance died when their truck crashed into a ditch. In another incident, a mob of about 300 protesters blocked a shipment of humanitarian aid in the port of Sitwe, the capital of Rakhine State. The protesters attacked a boat that was being prepared to take 50 tons of supplies, including food, water, and mosquito nets, from the International Red Cross. The aid was to be sent to Rohingya in the northern part of Rakhine. Some Buddhist religious leaders urged calm, but the mob began throwing stones and gasoline bombs at police, who fired warning shots in the air. 8 people were detained during the unrest. Reporters and rights activists say they cannot find out what is happening in Myanmar's western Rakhine State. Recently, the government permitted a group of reporters to visit Hindu villagers who said they were attacked by Muslim terrorists. However, when the reporters investigated, they found that two of those identified as victims had also been shown as Bengali terrorists on social media sites. Phil Robertson is the Asia Division Deputy Director for the activist group Human Rights Watch. He said the government brings out these fake photos or these fake narratives, and then they attack the human rights groups like us, saying, "Why don't you guys investigate?" Robertson added, "Let us in. Let us go where we want to go and do what we want to find the truth." The crisis in Western Myanmar has gained international criticism. This week, United States Vice President Mike Pence called on the UN Security Council to take action to end the violence. I'm Mario Ritter.
North Korea is preparing to observe the anniversary of the death of Kim Jong-un's grandmother, as world leaders increase criticism of the country's missile and nuclear test program. Kim Jong-suk was the grandmother of the North Korean leader. A popular figure in North Korea, she was the first wife of the country's founding leader, Kim Il-sung. He ruled for more than 45 years until his death in 1994. Then the son of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-suk, Kim Jong-il, came to power. He ruled until his death in 2011. At that time, his son, Kim Jong-un, became leader. He has ruled North Korea ever since. Major observances are planned to mark the September 22nd anniversary, according to sources who spoke to Radio Free Asia. North Korea began to emphasize the role of Kim Jong-suk after last year's 7th Congress of the ruling Korean Workers' Party, a source said. At one event on August 15th, she was called the mother of the revolution, the source added. Flowers from Kim Jong-un will be placed on a statue of Kim Jong-suk at her birthplace in North Hamgyong Province, said another source. The celebrations will be a way for officials to emphasize Kim Jong-un's direct blood ties to North Korea's founding couple. According to another source, in North Hamgyong Province, the observances under former leader Kim Jong-il were handled more quietly. But this has become a more important event now that Kim Jong-un is in charge, the source said. The observances come as the international community attempts to put more pressure on North Korea to end its nuclear weapons program. North Korea has a history of marking anniversaries with nuclear and missile tests. The country tested its 5th nuclear device on the anniversary of its founding last year. More recently, it tested its 6th nuclear device and several missiles. Earlier this week, U.S. President Donald Trump used powerful language to warn North Korea. In a speech to the United Nations General Assembly Tuesday, Trump said that if the U.S. is threatened, in his words, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. He also called Kim Rocket Man, saying he seemed to be on a suicide mission. On Thursday, Trump signed an executive order permitting the U.S. to sanction individual companies and institutions that do business with North Korea. He announced the action during a working lunch with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Speaking to the UN General Assembly Thursday, Moon said he approved of sanctions being placed on North Korea to help resolve the nuclear conflict. But he urged North Korea to agree to hold talks on the issue to prevent a possible conflict. Although South Korea is backing sanctions against North Korea, it also decided to move forward with a planned aid package worth $8 million to its communist neighbor. I'm Katie Weaver.
The Vietnamese government has set aggressive targets for reducing the amount of cash used by people across the country. The goal is to reduce the amount of ready money changing hands. The government says it wants to cut the total number of cash transactions nationwide to just 10%. By the year 2020. The effort is part of a campaign aimed at making it easier for Vietnamese citizens to use banking services. The campaign calls for greatly increasing the number of electronic transactions for many goods and services. It includes a goal of having up to 70% of utility payments made electronically. Vietnam has already made progress in this area. Many people now make water and power payments electronically at small stores, especially around cities. In the past, people had to either pay in cash at the local post office or wait for a collector to come. In an effort to cut down on cash payments, banks are using creative methods to reach people who live far from bank offices. For example, Vietin Bank sends employees on motorbikes to areas outside the city to help its customers do banking. Another company, Dong A Bank, sets up vehicles with cash machines near factories for laborers to use. Many businesses also have mobile phone tools linked to banks for people to pay for products and services. While such tools, sometimes called e-wallets, are now widely available, many people have been unwilling to use them. Experts say the main reason for this is a fear that personal banking information and money can be stolen. Lê Ứng Dụng is payment director for the State Bank of Vietnam. He recently spoke at a conference dealing with digital payment technologies. Dụng praised companies like Alibaba, Amazon, and Uber for offering people one-click pay tools. Google also lets people buy things in its Google Play Store with phone credits. Zung said that such payment methods are good because they make it effortless for people to hand over their money. But he added that because digital payment technologies are still new to many people, cash will not disappear anytime soon. Dong Ah Bank's Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Win An, agrees. He says it will take time for people to trust the new technology. He said many bank employees also did not want to accept electronic pay methods instead of cash when the system was launched about 10 years ago. The government also hopes digital payments will become more common because online retail sales are growing at a fast rate. Vietnam's e-commerce market was $400,000 in 2015, but it is predicted to grow to $7.5 billion by 2025. The government is pleased to see that more people are moving to the internet to buy products. But leaders are concerned that 89% of Vietnam's online shoppers still choose to use cash on delivery. Vietnam also has plans to digitize many public services. This means people could make electronic payments someday soon to services such as hospitals and schools. But for now, the mobile banks will keep traveling the streets in search of new customers. I'm Brian Lin.
This is what's trending today. Emoji have become a worldwide language for mobile phone messages. Emoji are everywhere. Displayed in New York's Museum of Modern Art and part of a new Hollywood film. They all started with one man, a 25-year-old named Shigetaka Kurita. He worked for the Japanese mobile phone carrier NTT Docomo. In 1998, he created the first set of 176 emoji pictures. I happened to arrive at the idea. If I hadn't done it, someone else would have, Kurita said. He is now a board member at Duango Company, a Tokyo technology company. NTT Docomo's iMode mobile internet service limited messages to 250 characters. Users, therefore, would look for shorter ways to express their thoughts. Digital messaging was just getting started, and so I was thinking about what was needed, said Kurita. After iMode's launch in 1999, emoji immediately became popular in Japan. In fact, Japan is where the name comes from. Emoji combines the Japanese words for picture and letters. Kurita collected common images, including public signs, weather signs, and even comic book style images, such as a light bulb or a bomb that is about to explode. He also made five faces: happy, angry, sad, surprised, and confused. Some images easily translated across cultures. A drop of sweat rolling down a cheek clearly meant nervousness or anxiety. Others confused some users. They mistook a video camera for a fish. Western companies such as Apple and Google made emoji known worldwide. Jason Snell is a technology writer. He says that many people now are most familiar with Apple's version of emoji. But Carita knows that Japan is where it all began, nearly 20 years ago. Japanese always are too ahead of our time, he said. Carita's creation is a big part of the Emoji Movie, a 2017 film by Sony Pictures about emoji that live inside the world of a smartphone. It has yet to be shown in Japan, but was fairly popular in the United States. Today, Carita works on a popular live video streaming service called Nico Nico. He believes such services will become more interactive in the future, possibly with artificial intelligence. He says he doesn't feel very involved with emoji today. Things have changed a lot since his original designs. He receives no money from the success of emoji. He is not well known in Japan outside of the technology community. Last year, he went to New York to see the Museum of Modern Art show. The exhibit cited him by name. That made Carita emotional. There they were, something I'd been involved with. Although I'm neither an artist nor a designer, he said. The museum saw value in the design that had the power to change people's lifestyles. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
The 2007 film No Country for Old Men tells the story of a lawman in West Texas. Actor Tommy Lee Jones played the part of the lawman. If you saw the movie, you might remember when he spoke these lines.
The crime you see now, it's hard to even take its measure. It's not that I'm afraid of it. I always knew you had to be willing to die to even do this job.
Our report today is not about crime. Instead, it is about one grammatical structure you just heard, an adjective plus preposition combination. Jones used it when he said, afraid of. What exactly are these structures? We will tell you. But first, we have to give you some definitions.
Adjectives are words that describe nouns. You will hear English speakers use adjectives in front of nouns or after non-action verbs. Non-action verbs include words like be, seem, become, and so on. Here are two examples.
My neighbors have a big dog. The dog is sick today.
In the first example, the adjective big comes before the noun dog. In the second example, the adjective sick comes after the verb be, a non-action verb.
Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber are language experts. They note that when English speakers use adjectives before a noun, they almost never use a preposition. However, when speakers use adjectives after a non-action verb, they often use a preposition. Here are two examples.
We had a fine day.
That is fine with me.
In the first example, the adjective fine comes before the noun day. There is no preposition after fine. In the second example, the adjective fine comes after the non-action verb be. the adjective fine is followed by a preposition, with. Fine with is one example of an adjective and preposition combination. It means good, acceptable, or satisfactory.
In everyday situations, speakers use many adjective and preposition combinations. These adjective and preposition combinations have specific meanings. There are many possible adjective and preposition combinations. We cannot give you all of them. However, we can tell you about three of the most common ones you will hear when Americans are talking. These include adjective plus of, adjective plus for, and adjective plus with.
The first common structure you will hear in everyday speech is adjective plus of. Speakers often use adjectives such as afraid, tired, or sick with the preposition of. For example, Americans often use tired of and sick of to show restlessness or a lack of interest in something. Usually, they use this expression when they feel they have had, seen, or done too much of something. Bad students, for example, might say the following words.
I'm tired of school.
Yeah, me too. And I'm sick of homework.
When the students say tired of or sick of, they do not mean that they are tired or sick. Instead, they mean that they have spent too much time in class. We hope you do not feel that way about school.
A second common structure you might hear in everyday speech is adjective plus for. Speakers often use the adjectives good, great, or ready with the preposition for. Doctors, for example, might say, vegetables are good for your health. Some people might even say, vegetables are great for your health. In both cases, the adjective plus for structure means not causing harm or causing something desired. The main difference is that great has a stronger meaning than good.
A final common structure is the adjective plus with combination. Examples include the expressions fine with, happy with, and wrong with. You heard one of these earlier.
That is fine with me.
This is a casual way of showing approval. How could you use it in an everyday situation? Here is an example. At a cafe, you might hear the following words.
I'm sorry, sir, but we do not have cream. Would you like milk instead?
Sure, that is fine with me.
In the example, the waitress gives bad news. The cafe does not have cream. Her customer gives an agreeable response by saying, "That is fine with me." Speakers use those words in many situations, at stores, restaurants, hotels, and so on.
The next time you are watching a movie or reading a book in English, try to look for examples of adjective plus a preposition. Do the speakers use similar or different adjective and preposition combinations? Learning adjective plus preposition combinations can be difficult, but if you put in hard work, you will be happy with the results. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.